Okay, good morning, guys, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kelly F. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Today is Tuesday, July 16, 2024, and this is the 7 a.m. Eastern Time Vision for You meeting. Today, we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are in More About Alcoholism. Today, we're on page 32. We're in the second paragraph. So it starts with a man of 30 was doing. We're going to be reading through seven sentences ending with had qualified him to drink like other men and commenting on those seven sentences. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Arifka K, 12 traditions, Patrick O. Danny P will be reading the text for us today. Colleen M, it's going to be reading page 164. And Susan SH is our backup reader today. Our newcomer greeter is Chris W., and second hour host is Christine G. The reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, July 15, 2024, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 21571, 21571. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time is 21572, 21572. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, quote, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers, end quote. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now have Rivka K. read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Good morning, Rivka.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for your service, Kelly. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Well, thank you so much, Rivka. All right, now I'll have Patrick O. read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Patrick.
Good morning. This is Patrick, recovering compulsive eater. Our 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problem of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group are to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Patrick O., for that. Okay, so here's how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, you'll press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So today, we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are in More About Alcoholism. We're on page 32. We're in the second paragraph. It starts with, a man of 30 was doing, we'll be reading through 7 sentences, ending with, had qualified him to drink like other men. And today, we'll be commenting on just those 7 sentences. And Danny P. is going to get us started. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Kelly. Thank you for your service. A man of 30 was doing a great deal of spree drinking. He was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. He was ambitious to succeed in business, but saw that he would get nowhere if he drank at all. Once he started, he had no control whatever. He made up his mind that until he had been successful in business and had retired, he would not touch another drop. An exceptional man, he remained bone dry for 25 years and retired at the age of 55. After a successful and happy business career. Then he fell victim to a belief which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline has qualified him to drink as other men. So good morning, everyone. I'm Danny P. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, only by God's grace and mercy, and I'm from Brazil. Wow, I'm so blessed to read this paragraph today. It reminds me of so many things. I really identify with the man of 30 because I did this control. I had many attempts controlling this disease. And for some period of times, I was successful, especially when I had some ambition like he had, or when I was highly motivated by something. I remember my academic career has been characterized by many extraordinary achievements and then massive failures. And I remember when I got into medical school, it was one of those extraordinary achievements, and it's very difficult in my country to get into medical schools because the good medical schools are public. So there is a lot of competition. And after this extraordinary achievement, I failed the first 2 years of medical school, and I was put on academic probation because of this disease. I was eating compulsively, and I didn't have the discipline. I didn't have what I needed to study, to show up on class on time, to go to the lab, to go to the library. So I decided that I would diet, because becoming a physician was the dream of my life, was the only dream I ever had. So I made up my mind, like he did, that I would not eat during medical school, especially because I was on academic probation. So I had to be on the top of my class to graduate. And I did that. I did that for 6 years. I was unbearable to be around. I have no friends. I never went to parties. I was isolating. I was resentful. I was constantly discontented, irritable, restless. It was a nightmare. But I studied like crazy, and I graduated. And then I felt like him, that I had arrived. You know, I thought I was, oh my God, now I'm successful. And then I went into medical residency and I took that first bite. And I start this endless cycle of triggering the allergy.
That's time, Danny.
And not being able to stop. So I'm so grateful for the solution that I have today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you for getting us started, Danny. Okay, so we are now going to open up the meeting for sharing. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please allow others the opportunity to share today. Please keep your share to 3 minutes to allow time for as many people as possible, and I'll remind you when time is up. Please give me your first name, initial of your last name, where you're calling from. I'm ready.
Nick F. in Tennessee.
Nick F.
Robin
A.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Ross M.
Jen A.
Russ M. Jen A.
Colleen M.
Colleen M.
Vasa O.
Vasa O. All right, well, here's who I have. Nick F., Robin P., Russ M., Jen A., Colleen M., and Vasa O. If you guys will make sure you're muted, star one so we can get started. We'll get started here with Nick F., followed by Robin. Good morning, Nick.
I'm Nick F. in Tennessee. Good morning, family. Thank you all for your service. I like how we got started. I myself, too, just like this gentleman and the young lady that got us started. You know, I was working on my Bachelor's of Science in Nursing. I had already went through Al-Anon and was able to put the focus a little bit on myself, so I did graduate nursing school. But I wanted to get my BSN and then my doctorate of nursing. And here's what it looked like. I would get my schedule. I knew what paper I had to write, and I could actually write the paper. That's what is so baffling. I know I have these great and amazing qualities inside of me, but my pursuit of peace, that I thought that diploma and that degree was going to give me peace, and it wasn't until I came here that I found that it's power. So while I was working on my Bachelor's of Science in Nursing, shifting over to a DNP, I would go to the vending machine, and then I would go to my room, and what was happening, I was watching a series of Friends. Like, I was binge-watching while I was eating, thinking these were my real friends. Shit, and this is the power that was keeping me. I would comfort myself with food. I was also taking Adderall and Vyvanse and several other antipsychotics at the time. And I couldn't find the power to put my ass in a seat to write the paper, even though it was on the inside of me. So I could always get started. But without this power, I could never finish. And, you know, before I came to Vision,
I had already gave away 220 pounds. But let me be honest, some of them yellow light foods was kicking my ass. And I got on to these and I started hearing person after person talking about God and person after person talking about they had dieted or done OA light or, you know, soft serve bullshit and they gave away the weight, but it all came back. And one night I got in my bed and I went to sleep and I said, power greater than me, because I wouldn't say God just yet. And I couldn't say Jesus just yet. And I would say power that's greater than me that has brought me to this point. Please don't let me gain all that weight back. Please don't let these yellow light foods take me out. And to myself, I could not put them yellow light foods down. I had to get a big sponsor. And from this day to that, from that day to this day, I am consistently and persistently driving home, trying to become recovered, because recovering is not good enough for me. I am a recovered alcoholic, and I will not sleep on this disease and play just recovering. It's not good enough for me. It might be good enough for somebody else, but I've got to get recovered on all fronts, because Satan has took so much from me, the power less than. It took so much from me. I want all my shit back, and I'm going to get it too. So with my family and with my new sponsor, God is good, and it's a new day. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Nick F. Next up, we have Robin P. followed by Russ M. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning. Thanks so much, Kelly, for your service. There are howler monkeys howling in the background. I hope you can hear me. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. I was a really low bottom bulimic, and I have this gift I was born with. I have a 4-octave singing voice that's huge. Don't need a mic. It's just, it's a gift. I was born with this gift. And I got cast in a Broadway show with a very famous pop star as her little sister. And we went on diets together and crazy diets. And then someone 12-stepped me. I was going to NYU at the time, and I got 12-stepped. Into Gray Sheet and at Moravian Church in New York City. And, you know, for 2.5 years, I was so clean and abstinent. And I've heard that changing addictions is like changing rooms on the Titanic. You're still in the stateroom. You're still going down. And I went, you know, I had a massive, I was an Al-Anonic without Al-Anon. And I just got obsessed about somebody, one of the stars in the show. We were dating, and it's crazy, not a good relationship. And I went back out, and I kept willing and I myself to be abstinent. I would get 6 months and binge, 3 months and binge, 2 months and it was just hell. And it took me a long time to find these rooms, And even continuing to star on Broadway, it was so important to have my voice, so important not to binge and vomit with my singing voice. And yet the disease was so horrific that every few months I would just have this, and I wouldn't know why. And it was just like Russian roulette. And I just couldn't figure it out. And I was trying so hard to do it. And to surrender and to do everything. And it just took what it took. When I work with someone, I'm so grateful for these past 8.5 years.
Robin, you got muted. Star one. Robin. Maybe the howler monkeys took her down. Okay, well, we'll just move on to Russ M. followed by Jen A. Good morning, Russ.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, family. Russ M., recovered compulsive overeater. Know what's cool? I woke up this morning a free man. I'm not strapped right now. I don't have that monkey's knot on my back. I don't feel pressure. I don't have that tension in my brain. But this reading reminds me that could change in a split second if I don't stay immersed in this program, if I don't continue to develop my spiritual life. You know, I was into food the majority of my life. One big ass binge. You know, I didn't start to get clean until I was about 45. I'm 51, going to be 52. I'm just scratching the surface. You know, I think of the man of 30, man, 20, 30 years, whatever that was, in that 25 years clean. And he was on a diet. And I don't want to be, I don't want to be fronting, as we say in the hood, that I'm on a diet. This has to be my life. This has to come first. Because anyone that's been in program has heard stories, has had friends that had sobriety and clean for 30 years, and they end up, they're dead now. They're dead. You know, I could do this. Anyone could do this perfectly and still end up in a binge and be dead in a food crack house. You know, this reading gives me gratitude and have some trepidation, like, you know, you ain't got this crap all figured out. Just still be humble and, you know, do it the way it's written in the book. Don't get cute. So that's what this part of More About Alcoholism does for me. It's still a wake-up call every time I go through it that I really didn't do anything but just work the steps. It's not through me. It's through God and the end program. So thanks for letting me share. I pass.
Thanks for sharing, Russ. Appreciate it. All right. Next up, Jen A., followed by Colleen M. Good morning, Jen.
Hey, Kelly. Good morning. Thanks so much for taking the meeting this morning. My name is Jen A., and I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thank you, God, for your grace and mercy in saving a girl like me today. What a kick-ass meeting. More about alcoholism, more about my disease, and more reminders about what is going to happen to me if I don't work the steps and live the steps. And I love all the shares this morning, like how I'm so fired up right now from hearing everybody. People I don't know and people that I do know, and knowing and seeing their sobriety and seeing them get in not only to a healthy body weight, but seeing their life transform. That's the power of this program. What I pull out of this paragraph this morning and what really stuck out for me today was just the part about the mind and about his thinking. He made up his mind. And what happens when I make up my mind? I fall victim to the belief of my mind. So, you know, my mind, it makes up this story, and I listen to my mind, and then I believe my mind, and then I take action on my mind. And I'll never forget, my nickname was Pooh Bear when I was growing up. They used to call me Jenny Pooh Bear. And there's this little picture of me with my little shirt and my little pot belly hanging out underneath it. And it looks like a crop top in the pictures when I was a little kid. And, you know, it was like, I was like, well, why did they call me that? I don't really know. But my analogy is this. I was just like Winnie the Pooh. And what did Winnie the Pooh do? He would think. Like he'd get into a conundrum. Something would happen. Think. Be up there in his mind. But the next best idea he had was to stick his hand in the honey jar, to numb himself out with a snack and a treat that can make everything go away. And like we say in this room, it only makes things go away for a few seconds, right? Because reality always comes back. The story in my mind that I'm thinking about, making up, usually making up, and believing is crazy. And I didn't even know that I had a thinking problem. But you know what? Like it says at the bottom, I've tried to gather all my forces. I've attempted to stop altogether. And I have found personally that I cannot. And so after 7 years in this program, I can say to myself, that it is. It's the 12 steps that lead me to God that solves all my problems. That's who solves my problems. I still can't stop my thinking. I still can't stop my mind. That's why I'm a CIP. I'm continuing, improving, and practicing these principles in all my affairs. That's 10, 11, and 12. That's why you hear people say that all the time. That's where they're living. So welcome to the newcomer. If you think you're eating because of X, Y, and Z, welcome to my brain is out of control and my mind is going to go crazy. And this morning I woke up and guess what? Oops, my timer's almost up. I woke up and I'm like thinking. And the first thing I need to do is what? Prayer, meditation, get on my knees, start my day right and give it over to God. Because my mind is always going to be out of control and always lead me back to something that is going to take me down. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Kelly.
Perfect timing, Jen A. from Colorado. All right, next up, Colleen M., followed by Vasa O. Good morning, Colleen.
Hey, good morning, Kelly and everyone. Thank you for your service. And my name's Colleen M. from Maryland, cover compulsive overeater. Well, hard to follow some of these shares, but I am going to focus on that those sentences where he fell victim to the belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink like other men. And, you know, I know from my own past experience and all of the stories I hear on this line and many other meetings that I've attended, that that is the great illusion of every alcoholic, you know, that we will one day be able to control our drinking and enjoy our drinking and our eating. So, you know, like everyone has shared, I've had many vain attempts of control, which had given me some self-confidence and some relief from my disease. And all it did was talk me into taking that other bite. And it always ended poorly. I love what was just said. You know, this is not I don't have a food problem. I have a thinking problem. And, you know, I have conceded to my innermost self that I have this disease. And that's the beginning for me. And, you know, deep down, you know, there's no question. I don't know if the man of 30 had an opportunity to hear about alcoholism and the allergy of the body. You know, maybe if he would have had, even though we know self-knowledge avails us nothing, maybe if he would have had some knowledge, he would have thought harder. I don't know if he had that opportunity. So I'm so grateful that even though it took me so many years to get abstinent in this program, I never left, you know, so I've always stuck around and was able to hear the message so that when this disease took me to the place of desperation, that I knew what to do, you know, and I knew that this was the only thing that had ever worked for me, and that is put the food down and work the steps. And so thanks for letting me share. Everybody have a great day.
Thank you so much, Colleen M. from Maryland. And before we go on to Vasa, just wanted to let you guys know where we're at, because we'll be taking more shares soon. We're in More About Alcoholism, page 32, second paragraph. A man of 30 was doing, we're reading through seven sentences, ending with, had qualified him to drink like other men, and we're commenting today on those seven sentences. So now Vasa O will be sharing, and after Vasa, we'll open it up for more shares. Good morning, Vasa.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Kelly, for your service. And I'm Vasa O, grateful to say a recovered compulsive overeater from calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. I never, ever want to think that I have arrived, I'm done, and that's it, I'm going to leave the program. Never that comes up in my mind. I need to continue doing what I've been doing for the last 38 and 39 years. It is by the grace of God I've been able to get the solution here. I found what the problem was, which I had no understanding what the problem was prior come to the programs. I had a disease and I had the allergy of the mind, of the body. I mean, I said, my goodness, there's a word for it. And which I did not know. It's like people struggle with cancer or something else. My son struggled with cancer for 9 months before he was diagnosed. And he had all the symptoms and not knowing. And once he got diagnosed, then now, okay, what is the treatment? Well, this is my treatment, coming to Overeaters Anonymous, studying the 12 steps and living the 12 steps. As being abstinent, and I've heard all kinds of stories over the years. People come and they go, and some of them never come back. And I had a friend. She was doing great for a couple years. She decided they were going to open the Mr. Donuts, you know, and then she licked her finger, and that was the end of her abstinence. She died in the disease. And I don't want to ever to think I'm done and I'm going to leave. And that was what I thought when I came to the programs. I said, well, once I lose the weight, I'm going to leave. You know, I came for the vanity and I stayed for the sanity. I'm just so grateful. If you're a newcomer, please, they told me, come to six meetings, Vasa. If you don't think this program is for you, you can leave freely. You can stay or you can leave. Nobody's going to force you to do anything that you don't want here. And I'm so grateful I've stayed. And I have continued and continued. And thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Well, thank you so much, Vasa O. Okay, guys, we're going to open up the meeting for more sharing. And even though we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day. So if you shared last Friday or yesterday on any vision meeting, please give others the opportunity to share today. All right, who would like to share?
Cheryl L., Florida.
Joe M.,
Roz G.
Wait just a second. So somebody from Florida.
Cheryl L.
Cheryl L. And then I got Joe M. and Roz G.
Celine M.
Celine M.
Justin C.
Justin C. Who was after Justin?
Ilana P.
Ilana?
Yes.
Ilana P. Okay.
Carol A, if there's time.
Carol A. All right. Here's who I have. Cheryl L, Joe M, Roz G, Celine M, Justin C, Elena P, and Carol A. So make sure you guys all muted star one. We'll get started with Cheryl L from Florida. Good morning, Cheryl. Cheryl,
good morning.
One.
Good morning.
Oh,
good morning, Cheryl L. from Florida. Grateful to be on the meeting this morning and grateful for all the shares. I can really identify. I had to share this morning because I can really relate to this story. I had 7 years of abstinence in OA. I had the information. You know, I had a way to you know, to be restored to sanity. I had a way to be recovered, and I threw it away. You know, life was getting really good for me. I had a very, very full life, you know, happily married. I had a job. I was accepted back into college to get another degree. You know, I was doing really well, and I decided that I enjoyed eating healthy. I knew what were, you know, what were bad foods for me, and that I would be able to do this by myself. And I went out there and I experimented, and guess what? It didn't work. You know, I'm so fortunate. I'm so blessed to be able to, you know, to be back in the program now. I'm coming up on, 23 months, I think it is, or 22 months, something like that. And I'm all in this time. You know, I'm on this meeting. I have a sponsor. I work the latter steps 10, 11, and 12 to the best of my ability every day. I'm working on a spiritual connection because I know that my higher power is the only solution to this deadly disease. You know, I have seen what happens to people who are affected with this disease, and it's not pretty. It is fatal, and I don't want to die that way. So if you're new and you're out there, you know, please give this a chance. You know, please accept the help that's so readily available. You know, look up people on the, you know, on the membership list and reach out to them. You know, if you've never introduced yourself on this meeting, please, you know, take that opportunity to introduce yourself. Because we will reach out to you. We will call you. And I'm so grateful to be here today. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Cheryl L. from Florida. Next up is Joe M., followed by Roz G. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. My name is Joe M. I'm a compulsive overeater in Minnesota. Then he fell victim to a belief, which practically every alcoholic has, that his long period of sobriety and self-discipline had qualified him to drink as other men. And I really identify with that because I used to do that myself because I used to believe that time had taken care of something. Well, I've been eating, you know, quote unquote healthy and not eating any of my, you know, my bad foods for 2 weeks. Oh, I haven't been eating any of my bad foods for 4 weeks. I haven't been eating any of my bad foods for 6 weeks. Whatever the time frame was, I haven't been eating badly for fill in the blank time. I should be able to fill in the blank. I should be able to have dessert now. I should be able to have one of these now. I should be able to have an extra helping now, because time should take care of it. And that's falling victim to something, which means that I'm at the mercy of a kind of thinking that wants me to believe that time takes care of it. And it's understandable that that kind of thinking comes in, because my whole life I saw and I experienced types of problems that were resolved with time. Like, okay, get a cut on my finger. Well, time's going to take care of the healing of that. Just put a little Band-Aid on it and time will take care of that. Time does take care of certain things, but it doesn't take care of this. It doesn't take care of this particular problem, because my problem isn't time. So the application of time doesn't solve it. And that is as true for me today as it was when I was actively in the food. Chronological time doesn't do anything for my compulsive overeating condition. Only willingness in the present moment to engage this program today, right now, that's the only thing that takes care of it. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Joe M. from Minnesota. Next up, Roz G., followed by Colleen M. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Kelly, and thank you. My name is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. And I'm so grateful that this paragraph is here, and all the shares have been so powerful. And there's a thing in Bill's story where he says, if I didn't do such and such and such, I would not be able to survive the low points ahead. And I had a hard emotional day yesterday. And this paragraph reminds me of the foods that I could not control, donuts, eating so many donuts that it made me physically ill, and bent and just being bent over on the toilet from eating too many donuts, not being able to control Girl Scout cookie thinness, eating those, like doing a line of cocaine. I had no control over those things. And like, you know, I've heard in the meetings, I went on those diets too. And none of them worked. None of them worked. And I can think about that saying of dieting with group support. So many years of that. But now I've had many years. Well, I don't want to say many, 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 but, you know, like 5 years of abstinence. And I have had some high spots and I have had some low spots. And yesterday was a low spot. But I do not want to fall to saying that because I've been abstinent, I can go back and drown myself in the cookies and donuts because I had a hard day. I don't get to do that. I don't want to do that. I am 60, so I'll be 61 next month, and I'm just going to go through this emotional pain right now. The way the steps, the way the book, the way you give me the opportunity to. I'm unsuccessful in a lot of things, but with my emotions, you know, I have to work this program, and I cannot go back to the food because I will die. I have a lot of life more that I want to live, and that, like I've heard people say in this program, this stillness is progressive, permanent, and fatal. So I don't want to die, and I'll just go ahead and feel these emotions, and so this too shall pass. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you so much, Roz. That made me chuckle. Fatal. Anyway, Roz G from California. Next up is Celine M, followed by Justin C. Good morning, Celine.
Good morning. Thank you all. This is Celine M. from Pennsylvania, recovered compulsive overeater. I think the words in Big Book are so deliberate. I'm learning to love it more and more. I've read this paragraph. Others have read it, and I've heard them read it. He has made up his mind that until He had been successful in business and had retired. He would not touch another drop. Today, when I read it and hear it, it looks like this man, unknowingly, made a reservation at a restaurant 25 years prior. You know? So I shouldn't be surprised that after he retired, he went back to drinking. He actually, in these words, in this line, made that decision too. So I'm going to pay quite a lot of attention to any reservation that I make in the future, giving me permission to not recognize my problems and my disease. So thank you very much for this meeting.
Thank you so much, Shalene M. from Pennsylvania. Next up, Justin C., followed by Elena P. Good morning, Justin.
Hey, everybody. Justin C., compulsive overeater from Charlotte, North Carolina. You know, it's only by the grace of a higher power I choose to call God that I'm even here this morning. And I thank you all for being here and for your service. Yeah, man, reading this book one paragraph at a time is such a powerful process. And, you know, what struck me about this morning is he was very nervous in the morning after these bouts and quieted himself with more liquor. And, you know, I have done that. Reading that this morning, I was thinking of my own experience of binging myself into a coma and just kind of crawling into bed and waking up, not even in the morning, in the middle of the night, and reaching over for that bag of Reese's, you know, and just all I could do to even try to get back to sleep was just to eat more, you know, and I've heard people sharing, you know, that's the best that I can do in a fair fight, my own self-will versus this disease, you know, that was the best that I could do. And that's me, you know, nervous. I've done this too, you know, where I made up my mind. I've made up my mind so many times. And I really felt successful, you know. I would certainly tell anyone who was willing to sit and listen about the new diet that I was on and how well it was going over the years, you know, and that felt like success. And then it would always get worse, you know, the fall down the other side. And I was up against something that I didn't even understand at the time. That bone dry, you know, I can relate to that. And so, chasing weight loss, chasing the new diet, chasing, you know, all of those things, you know, for today, I just want to chase, I want to seek my relationship with God. You know, I've received both hope and now some faith from you all, because I know that you all have experienced the same things that I have, but you are doing this thing one day at a time as well. And that's what I want to do. I want to be in the sunlight of the Spirit. I want to live a full life for today. And so that's what I'm seeking, and very grateful to be here. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing, Justin C. from North Carolina. Next up, we have Elena P., followed by Carol A. Good morning, Elena.
Good morning, Kelly. Thanks for your service. Thanks, everyone, for being here. I'm Ilana P. from Pittsburgh, recovered compulsive overeater for today. Oh, so grateful for this meeting. And like others have shared, I had, I started, my first OA meeting was in 1976. And I had, you know, a 10-year period of abstinence, not back then, but, you know, I was in and out. 10-year period in another 12-step food program, and I thought I was doing great. And the thing is that this disease is so insidious, and it was just, you know, just starts with one little thing that, oh, yeah, this is kind of on my food plan. And, you know, 6 months later, I'm back into the flour and the sugar and everything else. And so then I somebody turned me on to this meeting, and that was in 2019. And I have, you know, I have 3.5 years of abstinence, but it's one day at a time. And I have had a tremendous change in my life, my outlook, my way of being, my living in the world. I have a power now that I depend on and that guides me in everything that I do and everything talked about thinking earlier. I need that. I need that every day in my thinking because my thinking still gets crazy a lot of the time. But I'm able to live today in a healthy body, not obsessing about food, nothing related to food. I am so blessed. And it's working these 12 steps, having a power greater than myself, being around people that are recovered and that want to recover. I just can't think of a better way of life than what we have here. And I'm so grateful. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ilana P. from Pittsburgh. Next up, we have Carol A. We'll probably have room for another share. Good morning, Carol.
Hi, it was actually Cheryl A. with an S-H.
Oh, sorry. Gotcha.
No, that's okay.
It's okay. I often become Carol at the meeting when I introduce myself, but I am Cheryl, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Brookline, Massachusetts. And I think this is such an important story in our textbook because it reminds us that when it talks about later on in the 80s pages about not sitting on our laurels on any issue, really. I mean, I can't, it's not just about forgetting who I am when it comes to my primary drug of compulsive eating. It's also about letting up on my program of action. If I say that I can pick up food, I mean, that's just obvious to me. But if I stop picking up prayer meditation, and if I start resting on my laurels, allowing my thinking to dwell in resentment, if I start thinking, you know what, I just don't have time to, like, deal with this one more fear, I will become it. And when I become the fear or I become the resentment versus just having those things, I am on my way towards a kind of thinking that I will just, it's like walking back into a room that was locked because there's nothing in there left for me again. And I just open up the door and walk back in and I have no idea that I'm there again. And that is the insidiousness of this disease, and it's the warning bell of this story. The opposite is also true. If I follow my 12-step path, if I'm diligent on a day-by-day basis and I work 10, 11, and 12, and I do not ever forget 1, 2, and 3. You know, we talk a lot about once we're in a recovered state, living in 10, 11, and 12. But I cannot not live in 1, 2, and 3 on a daily basis, where I am connected to the fact that I'm powerless. I am connected to what I believe, and I have made a decision to take action going forward. I have to just renew it. It's fresh. And I, for better or for worse, have all kinds of unrelated situations to just trying to refrain from compulsive overeating that gives me ample opportunity to practice that. You know, I've got a situation going on right now, and I just experienced again, I'm powerless over it. I have come to believe that there is another power outside of me who can help me, and I'm making a decision, and over to you, to this particular doctor I'm working with. Like, over to you, you figure it out. Like, I can't. I'm trying to manage myself. I can't. And so I have opportunities to re-experience that all the time. This is a warning bell, but it's the opposite
Cheryl, that's
that I
fine.
Can live in. Thank you.
I can live in
with joy and confidence.
But the opposite is also
true. Thanks so much for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks, Cheryl A. We have time for a couple more shares. Is there anybody who hasn't shared in the last couple of days who'd like to share?
Pete B.
Pete B.
Amy G.
Amy G. All right, Pete. Get us going.
Catherine J.
Thanks, Kelly, for taking the meeting. Appreciate your service. You're doing a great job. My name is Pete B. I'm a compulsive overeater, and I'm recovered today by God's grace and mercy. You know, what we've read up to this point, we've established that this disease is twofold in nature, physical and mental. The physical component of our disease is dealt with through entire abstinence. You can't get the allergy of the body unless you ingest the substance that gives it, that causes it. Both aspects of this disease are progressive and get worse regardless of whether or not we're eating or not eating, meaning that once we put down the fork, the disease doesn't start to get better. So it was said earlier that time doesn't do anything to this disease. It does. It makes it worse, regardless of whether we're eating or not. Right? So this is just an indication of the progressive nature of the condition, because this person didn't touch a drop, didn't trigger the phenomenon of craving, and therefore he never got drunk. And then once he started drinking again, the physical aspect, the mental aspect of the disease got worse. Right, we have to remember that the physical is dealt with through abstinence. The mental is dealt with through spiritual action, through having a spiritual experience. We're not addressing the mental with mental exercises and human dependence and better codes of morals and new philosophies of life. Right? These are not exercises to keep us mentally in check. They're exercises to clear away the wreckage of our past and forge a relationship with a power that solves the problem, right? Because that's what the promises say. The results say that it gets to a point where the problem doesn't exist anymore. We'll always have the physical component of the disease. We'll never be able to safely ingest the substances or engage in the behaviors that cause the phenomenon of craving. And once we've determined that we have this, but the mental component gets dealt with by having a spiritual experience. Sanity does get restored, and it does so by forming and depending upon the relationship with the power greater than ourselves. Not human substitutes, not mental exercises, not new relationships and new fellows, by dependence upon the one that has all power. Right? All power. That means that there's no other power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Pete B. Next up is Amy G. Take us out, Amy.
Hey, Kelly. Thank you. Thank you so much. My name is Amy G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Maryland. What a great meeting, everyone. It's just such a reminder, you know, there's sobriety and there's sobriety, as I've heard in the Father program, that putting down the alcohol or the food is not sufficient for a real compulsive overeater like me, because I'm only addressing the physical allergy. And the big book is very clear that I need a personality change sufficient to bring about recovery. We read about it in the prior chapter, and there is a solution. Nobody likes the leveling of our pride, clearing up the wreckage of our past, you know, yada, yada, for the successful consummation of this program. I have to put the food down. There's no doubt about that. I cannot work this program while I'm triggering the physical allergy. But no amount of time, no amount of dryness is going to fix what's going on inside of me. The alcoholism, the inside me stuff, the stuff that's going on in between my ears, my selfishness, my self-centeredness, my character defects, my fears, my phobia, everything that drives the mental obsession. I have a hole in my soul that I try to fill with a knife and a fork and any other, frankly, mood-altering substance I could get my hand on. Lack of power. I have no power on my own to fix that. I need the transformative power of the 12 steps to connect me to power, to my God, so that I can find peace and contentment while I'm not eating. It's not an issue for me while I was eating. I ate just fine, thank you very much. It was being sober and not having my substances that I could not deal with life. I need a new instruction manual for life that doesn't require me binging and purging my brains out. I need a different power. And thank God these 12 steps get me to that power through the process of putting the food down and then embarking on the process of these 12 steps so that power can then be mine, can be ours, all of ours, one day at a time. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you so much, Amy G. All right, guys. Well, thank you to everyone who shared today. Wonderful meeting, as usual. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today's meeting, July 16, 2024, is 21574, 21574. So we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Pauline M., will you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hey, Pauline again. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditations what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.